Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of God. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When Jesus had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who had been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. May God bless us with understanding, and would you join me in prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The disciples say the wrong thing. Always. Jesus was teaching the disciples about how he would be misunderstood by the powers of the nation, betrayed by his friends, put to death by the pious, how death would seem like the end, but then the grave's gates, resurrection would open, and Jesus would be alive again. And how did the disciples respond? They get into an argument with one another about who among them is the greatest disciple. Jesus, on another occasion, was teaching village to village, going across borders and boundaries, and they go into a Samaritan village, and there was mutual distrust between the Samaritans and the Israelites. It's one of those feuds that can only come when people are so similar, so close. Jesus goes into a Samaritan village, and the Samaritans do not want to hear from Jesus. So how do the disciples respond? They ask Jesus, and I quote, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven to consume them? To which Jesus replies, No. Let's go on to another village. On another occasion, Jesus takes them to the peak of a mountain, shows them a vision of Elijah and Moses. They catch a glimpse of the light of heaven, enough so that the sun would seem a dim, reflected glow by comparison. And how do the disciples respond? By asking where, this is the spot you want us to set up camp, right? That's why you brought us here, to set up the tents? To which the voice of God from a cloud replies, No, do not build any tents. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Now, all of this happens in chapter 9 of the Gospel of Luke, just by the way. All of this is in a single chapter. The disciples say the wrong thing. Always. I want you all to have that background when we get to today's passage. Jesus, he has been raised from the dead, just as he had told them. And it has now been 40 days. 40 days, one-on-one. 40 days, the risen Christ, he's not doing any traveling. He does not perform any wonders. He doesn't speak to the crowds. He spends 40 days with just the disciples, with just those who loved him best, speaking with them about the kingdom of God. The kingdom that is not like a kingdom at all. Kingdom that is like a mustard seed, tiny and sharp and unmistakable. Or how God's kingdom is like a woman who's lost a coin, turns the world upside down to find it. Or like a vineyard where all have what they need. Or like a son who is welcomed home by a father against all odds. Or how God is like a mother hen shielding her chicks beneath her wings. For 40 days, the disciples get an intensive course on what the kingdom is, the kingdom of God, which is not like a kingdom at all. For 40 days, they got an intensive, and as Jesus was about to be taken from their sight, the disciples have one last chance to say something. And what do they say? Lord, are you saying that this is the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this the time when you're going to make Israel an independent nation again and we're going to have our own king like the other nations? The disciples cannot help themselves. They say the wrong thing. Always. Lord, is this when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? To which Jesus replies, no. I'm not sending a king. I'm sending you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They had set their sights so low. They had set their sights so low, hoping for the improvement of the civil affairs of one single nation for their lives. There's nothing wrong with that hope. There was a great deal wrong in the civil affairs of their nation. But such low horizons, they are not the good news of Jesus Christ. Such low horizons cannot encompass what God is doing in the world. The good news is not just for one nation, but for every corner of the earth. The good news is not just for one generation, but for ages unimaginable yet to roll into being. The disciples say the wrong thing always, and I love them for this. I love them for this because I know so deeply where they are coming from. I know so deeply where their hearts are in this. The disciples are given a revelation on the mountain. The Transfiguration Day, they are given a revelation of divine light, a rare and precious moment of the divine, and they immediately turn to logistical details. How often have I seen in myself the tendency to rush past wonder, to bowl over passing moments of the divine, to bury my head in the sands in the face of beauty? I know the disciples. They're me. The disciples, they experience just a touch of rejection, a bit of a setback in being rejected by a village in Samaria. Just a bit of rejection, and they immediately turn to wrath, to the lie that the world would be better if their least favorite people just weren't in it. How often have I seen in myself that knee-jerk turn to wrath, to the false hope that my enemies would just disappear, as if once my enemies were gone, I would not find new enemies just as close as my neighbor's differences. I know the disciples. They're me. Thank God the disciples say the wrong thing always, because Jesus offers them chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance, and that's just chapter 9 of the Gospel of Luke. So we have a fresh world every day, a fresh world every day in which to serve God on every dawning day. Thank God the disciples set their sights so low, because Jesus lifted their eyes, lifts our eyes too. It is so easy to get caught up in hoping for an improvement in the civil affairs of one single nation. Heaven knows I do. There's nothing wrong with that hope. There was a great deal wrong in the civil affairs of their nation. Such low horizons, though, they cannot encompass what God is doing in the world. The good news is not just for one nation, not just for one generation. It is easy. It is so easy to ask, as the disciples did, Lord, is this when you're going to restore the kingdom? Send us somebody powerful to make it how we'd like. To which Jesus replies, no, I'm not sending a king. Christ is sending you. You will be his witnesses. In Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, to the ends of the earth, in Boston, and Worcester, and London, and across the globe, in your families, in your workplaces, with those you love, with those you hate. You will be Christ's witnesses, because Christ is sending you to be his witnesses. Christ is sending you to a world caught up in details, sending you to linger on moments of beauty and mercy, to call people's eyes, to see the glory of God all around. Christ is sending you to the places in your neighbor's lives where hope seems futile, sending you to be a light that is not extinguished in dark days. Christ is sending you to places of wrath, times of wrath when an angry word is all there is to hear. Christ is sending you to be a voice of peace that dares take a higher path. Christ is sending you to serve the gospel every day. And thank God that the disciples say the wrong thing always. Because now we know we have before us always a new day. Amen.